Butterfly in the sky, I can fly twice as high. It's okay. It's geekish. How's it going?
I just was transported back in time for a few moments watching Jordy the Forge sing.
Did he sing? Oh yeah, he did occasionally, huh? Uh-huh. I remember I used to. Anyway,
that was the Reading Rainbow theme song, and that's kind of the cliff we're gonna dive off into today for the podcast.
It's a big cliff. Whee! Cliff of nostalgia again. But it is Get Geekish. I am Derek.
I am Bino.
Yeah, there you go. And like he said, we're talking childhood, childhood TV, right?
Educational television, because some of them, we don't want to go talk about, you know, National Geographic World and stuff like that.
That was a good show, though.
No, I'm talking the adult ones now. Like, it's a different ball game for
National Geographic in the 90s was good. Yeah, now okay. It's... Okay.
Aliens.
Yeah. Aliens.
But because TV got a bad rep, especially when we were kids. But there's a lot of educational programming out there. And I think I brought this up before, that I'm pretty sure that at least 85% of my historical anecdotes are things that I remember from The Simpsons, not things I remember from my history classes growing up.
Simpsons did it. But yeah, I mean, so should we get the big names out of the way? Sesame Street, obviously, which is...
See, I never liked Sesame Street.
I wasn't a big fan of it either, but it's weird to me that HBO now has it, since it's not on PBS anymore, which is weird.
That does seem odd.
But, you know, Grover getting all Game of Thrones. But
I feel like I was the odd child. Surprise, surprise. But we talked last week that I didn't watch any of the Disney classics until I was older. And when I was a kid, that did not like Sesame Street or 3-2-1 Contact.
Oh, 3-2-1 Contact. I don't think I really cared much for that either, but...
I was like 6 and I still thought those special effects were cheesy and crap.
Transformers does it better, whatever. Okay, what about another big... Were you into Mr. Rogers?
I watched him occasionally enough to know the tagline, but I think I always watched it like, oh, this looks like it'll be fun because he was so inviting, and then he started talking, and then I'd get bored and turn it off.
Oh, man. So we recently watched, not too long ago, the Won't You Be My Neighbor, the documentary about him.
Mm-hmm.
I teared up a little bit.
I'm sure. I mean, he was a... Seemed like a good human being.
He was. And it's one of those ones where after I got done with that, I was like, where's my Bob Ross one? I want to know about Bob Ross. That was another kind of educational.
See, I want to know too, because I think that Bob Ross probably had some freak stuff hidden behind those curtains.
You think? Maybe that's why we haven't seen one yet.
I can see the Bob Ross After Dark just goes down a rabbit hole nobody wants to see again.
Smooth talking with Bob Ross. Wow.
This is a family podcast. Let's get back on track. That's my, yeah. One of the ones I did enjoy when I was a kid was, of course, Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Who didn't? I mean, seriously, when they would roll in, again, with that substitute teacher thing, when they enroll in the TV, and it would just be, you know, a Bill Nye episode you've seen already.
It didn't matter.
Nope.
You could watch those things 100 times. What... The funny thing about this is Bill Nye is what I think sparked the whole idea for this podcast. You came to me, so we're talking educational TV, and I was ready to go to fisticuffs with you because in my life I've met people that actually said that, no, Bill Nye was crap. Beekman's World was where it was at.
Nope. See, Beekman's World is, for whatever reason, that's what popped into my head, and that's what started this podcast. And I know you were sitting there, you're like, Beekman's World is trash, trying to get me to argue with you. I was like, yeah, I know.
I know, but I've had that argument before, and I was ready, like, okay, here we go. This is going to happen.
Beekman's World was, and no offense to anybody that really enjoyed it, but Beekman's World to me was like a dumbed-down version of Bill Nye.
Yes.
Because they focused more on gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill Nye, yes, had some gimmicks and everything like that, but it was a lot of science. Beekman's World was like, look at this giant rat that's acting goofy, and let's do it a science experiment. And I was like, eh.
And the funny thing is, because we both had the same reaction about that, it was like just a cheap knockoff of it. But doing some research, Beekman's World actually premiered in 1992, and Bill Nye premiered in 1993.
What? Mm-hmm. So it's a Transformers GoBots situation, where GoBots came first but was far inferior.
Yes, yes, although it didn't go to national syndication on Saturday mornings until 1993. But I think that was... that's what was a knockup, because it was in some small markets, and then Bill Nye came out, and then a few months after Bill Nye came out, then Beakman's World was on national syndication on Saturday and was competing.
Right.
So they were trying to, you know, pull the rug out from each other on the networks.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Boo! 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 Boo. To this day, that song, and the fact when he did this remade adult show and still used parts of that theme song.
You know what? I do have to say, I enjoyed the Bill Nye redo or redux or whatever you want to call it on Netflix, because it's still like threw science in our face, and I was just like, yeah.
And it still had the same fun feel to it. It's like, we're going to learn something, but it's not going to feel like it's a lecture. It's let's do something fun. And oh, by the way, you're going to learn something from this, kids.
And the world is in trouble. but yeah, I mean, and kind of along those lines too, I mean, we talked about reading, well, we didn't talk about it. I sang Reading Rainbow in the beginning, but, you know, having a iconic actor from Star Trek on there, talking about books and the joy of reading and then going and showing how things are done was just, I don't know, something soothing about that too.
Yeah, that show was soothing for some, everything about it, like, it was like just a warm hug as a child.
Well, and they kind of brought that one back too, didn't they?
They tried, I think they did, or they did a crowd Kickstarter fundraising, something
with, to bring with it back. Him, and they did a few episodes or something like that, but I don't know if it'd feel the same.
I think, do you know who I think laid the groundwork for Bill Nye and Beakman to succeed, though?
Who?
Because lightning just struck my brain with what I watched when I was younger, because these didn't come out until the early 90s.
That's usually how we work, though. We'll talk about one thing, and all of a sudden something will trigger in our brain. Yeah.
But Mr. Wizard.
Ah!
Mr. Wizard was amazing.
What do you mean?
Looking back and watching it now, it was painful because he was just like an awkward old guy, and you're like, how did this make sense? But he felt like he was friends with these kids, and not in some weird, creepy, sadistic way. He just loved doing science projects with him. And there's a lot of things that to this day I still remember, like explaining how dot matrix printers worked.
You know what's...
There's an episode of Mr. Wizard that I can track back to when I was like 8 years, like, oh, that's how that works.
Do you remember how it works?
I do.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird that, you know, it's kind of a tangent, though, not a necessarily educational show, but it's still kind of weird of what you learn from shows back then. Like, you know, you're watching Rocky and Bullwinkle, and they put on Peabody and Sherman, and you learn something about history just from them. You're like, you know, a little cartoon like that. And then, of course, you have Wishbone, who's a dog that goes into literature adventures.
I was never a Wishbone fan.
What? You're a little old, huh?
Probably.
I don't know. I remember. I watched that when I was older. But that's one of those ones still. You're like, oh, he's reenacting Robin Hood. Look at that little dog cosplaying.
The dog was cute. I'll give it that.
But, I mean, it's...
The funny thing is, when anything is labeled educational television as a kid, your first reaction is to go, oh, no, I don't want to watch educational TV.
I hate it. Like, well, that's what I thought PBS was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then, I mean, it still kind of was, but I remember back then being like going over to my cousin's house and that's all they were allowed to watch. It's like, PBS. But there was actually a lot of good shows on there, because I think Wild America, do you remember that with... oh, what's his name? But anyway, it was like Go Across America, and they made a movie out of it with Jonathan Taylor Thomas. But I used to watch that with my parents, and we'd be like on PBS at 6 o'clock at night and be like, Wild America, learning about grizzly bears and stuff.
So I remember the Jack Hanna's Animal Adventures.
Oh, Jack Hanna. He's still doing stuff occasionally. I think mainly talk shows, but yeah, Jack Hanna, Crocodile Hunter, another huge one, which made learning about dangerous animals and spiders fun.
It's like somebody else is climbing these dangerous animals. This is good for me. I don't have to touch them. Another one that always gets brought up that it's hard for me to put. It was on PBS a lot, I think. But Arthur. To me, Arthur was not educational television. It was just...
Based off of a book.
It was based off of a book. And, you know, the kids learned lessons. But what kid's book doesn't have lessons? There was... I don't remember learning any science experiments from Arthur. I don't remember learning about anything specific in history. I remember them dressing up like...
What about another one? I think this was on PBS as well, was Magic School Bus.
I still dig Magic School Bus.
I wanted a teacher like Miss Frizzle so bad.
I'm pretty sure one of the science teachers I had in high school was kind of like Miss Frizzle. We didn't get to go on Magic Adventures anywhere, but...
Can you like...
she made science class fun.
Can you imagine that? You're like, you go to class and they're like, oh, Timmy's sick. She's like, he is! To the bus! What are we going to learn about? Antibodies.
And I will say they have the new remade Magic School Bus on Netflix now, which is decent. It's not as good as the original, but still entertaining. It just it seems like more of a swarmy sense of humor, like a sarcasticness to it.
Here's my question. Mm-hmm. Is it not as good as the original because we grew up with the original? I mean, that's a whole...
Well, hear me out on this. I've got a seven-year-old that they come up side by side on Netflix and ask her which one she wants to watch, and she wants to watch the original ones.
Is that influenced by you?
No. Because I tried to get her watching the new ones because I wanted to see if the new ones were any good, and I kept trying to watch it. She's watching, like, can we watch the old ones?
Does she know Holtzman from the new Ghostbusters as Miss Frizzle?
Yeah, I don't know if she puts two and two together with that. But,
gotcha.
But she still loves the original ones, and you put the new ones on, and she'll watch them, but she always wants to go back to the original ones, and not from me trying to persuade her to.
My question on that is, like, it was always a pain to go on a field trip in school. How did the kids get away with that without those permission slips? Was it just a year-long one that was like, stuff might happen, sign this.
Yeah. Like, and little Johnny, you're going to be in Miss Frizzle's class, so your parents are going to need to sign this waiver right now.
And do you have a life insurance policy? You're going to need one. What about another one that they kind of remade, which I want to watch, but I don't think it's anything like the original because I think they actually made a show out of it, was Carmen Sandiego.
I loved that. It was a game show. Yep. You actually got to learn a lot from it.
And all right, so we talked about this the other day about what was it? It's the last challenge with the map.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those kids were, and I get it, they're under pressure and everything like that, but we're screaming at the TV going, Paris!
Yeah, to this day, I can still picture one kid wandering around like an idiot for the entire minute. Like, he had to name, I think the challenge he had to name like five countries in Brazil or in South America. And the first one he got was Brazil. He spent a minute and couldn't figure out where Brazil was in South America.
Well, I mean, again, that's different. That's like watching Legends of the Hidden Temple, and when they're trying to put that monkey shrine together, you're like, what are you doing? It's three pieces.
But even that game, with the Carmen Sandiego, you got those pieces. And by dumb luck, just put it down somewhere and see if you're wrong and then try another one. Like,
yeah, because you had...
There's process of elimination. But you can put it somewhere it's wrong and go back and grab a different one. Like, just stand there wandering on like, I don't know where it goes. Just put it down somewhere. It's the big one.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Dude, what was it?
Rockapella.
Yeah.
Rockapella rules.
All right, gumshoes. Ah, takes me back.
And I always imagined that the lady that played the head detective, mm-hmm. I imagined that she was how actual detective agencies are run. I imagine they all had some surly lady that's like, you're going to get out and get this done, gumshoe!
Oh, man. See, and because I think the new Carmen Sandiego is actually like a TV show.
Yes, it's decent, but it's nothing like the old game show. But it's all based off the computer game, so you know you can take some liberties with it here and there.
Why can't they bring the computer game? Was fun. They should bring back that one, like you know, just the old episodes and put them on Netflix.
That could be fun.
Or Hulu.
You hear that? TV networks, make it happen.
Do
snap,
it.
Snap, snap.
You can do it with other stuff.
You ever watch Ghostwriter?
Writer, yes.
Yes.
For a minute there, I was like, the movie with Nicolas Cage, that was horrible?
Yeah, The Flaming Demon Skull from Hell, great kid show.
Ghost Writer.
Teaches you all life
yes,
lessons.
I remember. That was on PBS too, wasn't it?
I think so.
See? Look at this. We're learning.
I just... When it's like episode about Gooey Gus is its high point in its series, it just doesn't, do it for me.
We're missing one. There was a huge one that we talked about the other day. That kind of
Muppets?
Fell. No, though, kind of.
They had some learning spots in them, but that's like saying the PSA is the end of G.I. Joe made of education.
Well, that's what I was just about to say is you know, Captain Planet type of situation where it's like, they're fighting bad guys, but Mom, did you pay attention to the end? We can help fight the ozone.
Yeah. We need to recycle and buy some toys.
What kind of hairspray are you using?
Did the irony of that ever dawn anybody in the late 80s of going to the store to buy a PVC plastic version of Captain Planet wrapped in a plastic cellophane wrapper with little plastic accessories shipped in from another country?
Well, you know, what's funny is I remember I had the Fire figure, and if you clicked like something on his back, he would do sparks in his chest. So they don't make toys like that anymore.
Don't start fires, kid. Here's a toy that can start fires.
Like, fire! Heart! Get out of here.
Yo, that heart character, he was such a laughing stock. He was like the Scooter or the GoBots, but for the Planeteers.
He could talk to animals, man.
Kind of.
Heart! He was, never mind, but that's a whole different.
If they like had Huey Lewis playing every time he came on the screen, maybe it could have been a little bit better, but.
Mickey Mouse, okay, let's talk kind of modern ones. Mickey Mouse's Playhouse or Clubhouse or whatever it's called. You just got like shell shock from that.
That's one of those moments that anybody that had a child in the last probably
10
decade
years,
or so, you have been cursed with the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse song.
Let's hear it.
No, don't. Please don't do this to me.
Oh, boy. Come on, Beano. No, don't do it.
Between the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and the DJ Shuffle.
Well, there was another one that had a really annoying... I know Paw Patrol's huge right now. But, I mean, does it... I haven't
Dora
watched.
The Explorer?
Dude, Swiper, no Swiper, right? Swiper, no. So would Pee Wee Herman be considered educational?
He tried, but I don't know if I'd put that in the hold.
He tried, and then he got caught at that theater.
Hey, of all the places. different argument.
We love you, Ruben.
Yeah, but we're going to more modern stuff, things that weren't necessarily aimed at kids, but Mythbusters. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe.
Yeah.
That one wasn't so much an educational. Well, you learned about different jobs, but it wasn't.
Mythbusters always annoyed me, though, because they'd like, I'd want them to do different experiments. Like, they're like, let's try this. I'm like, but what about this? Like, it was still cool, but I don't know.
So I feel like they with the later episodes, because then they had their three interns where they had Carrie, her name? And, hey, when I was in high school, she made nerds cooler.
Well,
right?
Didn't, speaking of Mythbusters.
But they had them to do all the menial tasks, and then the head honchos could, like, okay, we're going to work on this one really cool thing.
Yeah.
You guys can do all this other crap for the whole episode, but we're going to do this.
But I feel like sometimes the interns got the better stuff, but they didn't dive into it as much because the head honchos won. Didn't you get shot by one of the Mythbusters guys?
Yes, when they came through Northern Colorado, I actually got to go on stage and put on a suit of armor while they shot me with a artillery gun full of paintballs.
What were they proving? They just wanted to shoot somebody.
I think for the live show, they were just putting on a show. There was not a whole lot of learning going on for it. They were talking about some of the, I don't know, but it still hurt.
Did it?
Well, yeah.
You're wearing armor.
Yeah, but it's like paintball. That armor doesn't cover every inch of you. You turn your leg just a little bit, and you got some skin showing. Like tag, it was a lot of like. If we can find the video to put on there on the blog, it was. It was not a couple paintballs. It was literally an artillery gun. So there was probably 30 or 40 rounds that were all fired a second.
Well, and I like, it's Jamie and what's the other guy's name? Because he's the one that actually, like, he does a whole bunch of nerd stuff where, you know, he just tried to prove something out of a video game or something like that.
Yeah, Adam Savage and Jamie Hyman.
Adam, yeah. Because they do.
Hyman.
Yeah. They do a lot. He goes to Comic Cons a lot too, and goes undercover and stuff, and like cosplays his own stuff, which is pretty cool. But what other modern ones do we have that kind of?
I think if we go back to the National Geographic out too, there's entire channels that are dedicated to stuff like that now. You can turn on BBC and Discovery Channel. There's just animal shows galore. Like everything they bring to the IMAX. Like at this point, any of the nature IMAX movies, yeah, buy me a ticket, I'll go. Let's do this.
Who's narrating? Morgan Freeman?
Yes.
Buy me three tickets. Well, and if you want to go like the more modern route.
What are like Wildcrats? Would that count as educational?
Yeah. They teach kids about animals. If you want to go the more modern route though, like not even on TV, on YouTube, you got the slow-mo guys who started out just kind of doing videos for fun in slow motion. And it has evolved into something amazing like that. They don't necessarily go into the science of it, but sometimes they do, like especially if it's sponsored. But like... Well,
they'll talk about science if somebody pays them to.
Well, no, but the thing is like just seeing how stuff, you know, affects each other in slow motion and stuff, and like it, you know, it's kind of educational. Yay, YouTube.
feel like that one's kind of a stretch.
Hey, they were just at the School of Mines a couple months ago doing explosion stuff. So you shut your mouth.
Their stuff can be used for science, I'm sure, but I don't think you learn a lot watching them necessarily. Well,
they're pretty smart. Smarter than me.
Anyway. I just want to throw back that they have an episode of them trying to watch the guy from Jackass do a backflip with a water balloon, lighting it out of his backside.
No. He was just trying to do a backflip. It had nothing to do with his booty.
There was something to do with his booty.
That's a Family Channel, sir.
I know, but they were... Just saying.
What? I mean, there's other stuff. I feel like they've gotten more...
Well, the game shows have gone downhill as far as being teacher. There was Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader for a while,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like that didn't teach anybody anything other than most people got upset because, why don't teach that crap in school? Like, what do they do now?
Well, look at Jeopardy. It's been going on since the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Man, it's been going strong. In fact, our local pizza, Totally 80s Pizza in Fort Collins just got an autographed thing from Alex Trebek.
Nice.
To add to the museum. So that's pretty cool.
I give him and Pat Sajak are still around.
Wheel of Fortune didn't teach me anything. Well, no. It didn't.
Spelling, kind of?
I always hate, Jeopardy is kind of like when you watch it, it's like when you play Trivial Pursuit with your family. Mm. They ask old questions like, what?
Yeah. Give me the 70s. Oh, come on, Dad!
What is I Wasn't Born Yet?
And then what was the last trivia one, though? Are you going to be, you had to ask 10 questions, are you going to be a millionaire?
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Yes, though you get the lifeline thing. Like that.
And then there you got the weakest link. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
I feel like a lot of those are just so obscure. It's like trivia nights of you get one person that happens to have that one specific set of knowledge and they're golden, but the questions are so not related to each other they're just random factoids.
I think us growing up with the shows that we did, you know, Bill Nye, Magic School Bus, that kind of stuff, and learning stuff and not knowing that we're learning stuff kind of helps with the trivia nights. I think that's why trivia nights is so huge with our generation, is they'll ask an obscure question. You're like, what? And then you have that one person in your group that's like, oh, I remember that. Bill Nye did an experiment. This is what this means.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, yeah. But I mean, I feel like, of course, maybe it's because we're not looking for it now, but maybe there's not as many educational shows like geared towards not kids, like not, you know, not young kids.
I feel like there's a lot more educational shows out there, but there's just nothing. When we were younger, it was back to the saturation point where everybody knew what these were because there wasn't a lot of options.
Right.
So everybody knew it or saw it or knew about it. Where now, there's 10 different ways you could find shows. I mean, a new one that I think is really good is StoryBots. Netflix show, and it's a hilariously awkward show with these little robots to learn things, but they just go on adventures and learn about stuff. And my daughter will find all kinds of these random episodes on Netflix and Amazon Prime, and she'll be watching. I'm like, this is actually a really, really good show. You're learning all kinds of good stuff on this. And it's Sid the Science Kid.
Oh, I forgot about Sid. That actually is a good show.
Yeah. You watch this. You can watch this all you want.
The animation's weird, but
it looks like Beast Wars crosses with Sesame Street.
So does that mean Jimmy Neutron's an educational show?
As much as Dexter's Laboratory was.
DD! Well, I mean, so I think you're right. I think when we were younger, there wasn't as many because you had those staples.
Mm.
You know, I feel like Beakman's World, people kind of forgot it because of Bill Nye. Bill Nye became one of the bigger names in it, and so much so that he's done TED Talks with Neil deGrasse Tyson and different stuff like that. So Woo! But now there's just everybody, especially everybody with a camera, can go on YouTube and be like, "I'm being educational. Let's check out this." I mean, you can type in how to make a volcano now, and there's thousands of videos. When we were younger,
a tutorial for everything.
Yeah. What kind of volcano do you want? Do you want a big one, small one? But back when you're younger, it's just like, how do we build it? Your parents are like, baking soda and vinegar. Here, have fun.
Here's an encyclopedia and a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook on a 5.5-inch floppy drive.
You're now on a watch list.
Yeah. Sorry, government. I still have it.
There's one that I cannot think of the name of that we watched in school. like when we had like those slow times. If it wasn't Bill Nye, it wasn't Reading Rainbow, it was a different
Please
one.
Please say you're not talking about Voyage of the Mimi.
No.
Okay, good. Anyone else has had to sit through that in elementary school, I'm right there with you.
I'm trying to... I don't remember what it is, but I remember it was boring. It was so boring. But it had a catchy intro. Kind of like 3-2-1 Contact. What was wrong with 3-2-1 Contact, by the way?
Did you ever watch the show?
Yeah.
It was just... I felt like it was... The equivalent of some of the toddler shows where it just like put flashy things on the screen and wanted you to repeat things and talk to the TV.
We're forgetting about a big one.
Uh-oh.
Barney.
Barney was not educational.
I love you. You love me.
We're all going to sit in a circle and hug. That's not educational.
You taught kids how to care. Well, so,
I feel like it all went in kind of waves because 70s, 80s, there was very educational TV. Cartoons were still coming out, but... The educational side of it was, okay, we need to make TV that will help enrich and educate kids.
Right.
And kids basically fought back, that's boring, we want to see robots and the things exploding. And so the late 80s, early 90s turned cartoons down the path of, okay, we'll just put a message at the end and then make a commercial to sell toys for 24 minutes.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Exactly. And then they moved beyond to the late 90s and early 2000s, who needs PSAs? Just have some action. And it went even further to where they became a little crass and crude and aimed a little more towards adults. And it was not about learning. It was just awkward animation, slapstick comedy.
Right.
And we're coming back to full circle now where people are wondering, like, well, yeah, there's a place for some of that. But we could make some TV shows that are actually, I feel comfortable about letting my four-year-old watch.
Well, and I think we had advantage, too, because I was talking to my wife about this, who grew up in Scotland. They didn't have a lot of TV channels. Mm-hmm. They also didn't have a lot of educational channels. They had one called Blue Peter. that she remembers watching. Apparently, it started in 1958, and it kind of taught stuff there.
I feel like the episodes just went a little too long.
Oh man, is this still on? Holy cow! But then they also had, which she's talked to me about this. She didn't like it because it's creepy, and I know exactly what she's talking about because I've tried to watch certain episodes because. To get an example, and that's Blobby, or Mr. Blobby, or whatever you want to call it, which is this weird inflatable suit, and it looks like what's the ham that has all the weird pimento thing? That's what the monster kind of looks like, and it makes a weird sound, and that thing is nightmare fuel. So I understand why she didn't watch that one, but they only had one. They didn't have Mr. Rogers. They didn't have Bill Nye, because I remember... I was like, hey, we should watch this Bill Nye on Netflix. She's like, I don't know who that is. And I was like,
that hurts my heart.
Right? But, I mean, so maybe we had an advantage. But like you said, it's kind of coming back, especially with Netflix trying to pick up stuff. And
are you thinking of The Electric Company, the old shoe?
Yes! The Electric Company.
Electric Company. I didn't like that one much either. But that does make me, speaking of our random tangents on there, we were talking in the past of not Electric Company, but the, it was just there. No.
What's the, mobile? Schoolhouse Rock.
Schoolhouse Rocks. There we go. That's what we were watching in class all the time. Every time we got to see that little rolled up piece of paper show up on the screen, it was like Christmas. Get the little 8mm projector going on in here. All right, here we go. We got this.
I used to know one of the songs from that from heart, and now I can't think of it because I'm trying to think of it. But sometimes it just randomly pops into my head. And it's not the I'm a Bill song, but...
Conjunction.
Yeah, what's your function?
Your function?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Schoolhouse Rock, but I also hated the animation.
It was a little painful sometimes.
Because it was on Saturday morning right before Looney Tunes. Because it was on early. I remember that. But, yeah, I'm so glad you... Electric Company and Schoolhouse Rock, thank you.
Yes.
That was going to bother me. I was going to wake up at 3 in the morning and go, ah!
You'll think of something else.
Probably. I'll call you.
3 o'clock in the morning. I remembered what it was.
Fix it in post. But I mean, yeah, I think with the oversaturation, it's kind of good because it broadens it to a whole bunch of other people. Because I mean, everybody has different attention spans and learning styles and everything like that. Not everybody liked Bill Nye. Mm-hmm. You know, you weren't a big fan of Beakman's World, and neither was I, but I'm sure there were some people out there who...
Again, I know for a fact there's people that think Beakman was godlike, if you will.
Man, his hair bothered me, too.
Yeah, the giant rat, I just can get over.
But I mean, it's stuff like that where I think now with the oversaturation, that might actually help reach to a broader audience of those kids who like certain things. You know, you have the kids that like their Paw Patrol. You have their kids that like their Rescue Bots and Story Bots and different stuff like that. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, we talk about this with comedy and all things. If there's people that can be educated by things and tie educational parts into entertaining shows, it's good for everybody.
Yep.
Even we look at what's the last movie we saw? The new Lego movie.
Yep.
Not saying that's an educational movie for it, but just the idea that there's some sciencey jokes and smart jokes that you had to be aware of as an adult to get,
right,
which made it entertaining. There's cameos from movies that kids wouldn't understand, but you get giddy over. Same with educational shows. You get a Simpsons cartoon. Oh, yeah, it's kind of funny. It's got some slashy ways. Kids get it. But there's some jokes in there that are very, very intelligent and clever that if you've learned these other pieces, like, oh, wow, this is really woven together. Nice to make a good joke there. Just adds some depth to it.
Well, and I think you're right. We've learned a lot from The Simpsons and we don't realize it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a whole another podcast. Things we learned from The Simpsons. Anyway.
Maybe easier to things we didn't.
We know we missed some shows. We hit on some of the big ones, but, you know, as nostalgia weighs in our hearts and our heads, we're always going to love those rather than the new stuff. But we'll kind of like some of the new stuff, but, you know.
I like some new stuff.
Sometimes. You still, like, if you had a choice between, like, one of the old shows that you actually enjoyed and some of the new stuff, you'd probably go the old show.
Well, it depends what we're talking about here.
Okay, yeah. Anyway. Let's wrap it up.
You're pigeonholing me with this whole Magic School Bus thing. I feel it. Get off my lawn!
An octopus in your neighborhood? Anyway, what are some of yours?
Yeah, what are your favorite educational programs from your youth? Or, hey, brand new ones now.
Yeah, I mean, because there's stuff out there now that maybe is geared more towards adults, and you're like, I love this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, Crocodile Hunter was great bringing everybody together for that.
Mm-hmm. So just because it's rated E for everyone doesn't mean I can't watch it by myself on a Saturday night with a tub of ice cream.
On that note, follow us on the socials. That was a weird visual. Oh,
I have pants on. Come on.
I just... the mint chocolate chip.
Rocky Road.
Okay. yeah, follow
maybe
us on
some fudgesicle.
Stop. Just stop. Take it away.
As Get Geekish, Vito Derek signing off, and we will talk to you next week.